You know, I was lucky enough on Wednesday morning that Michael Frerichs walked into the lobby here at News Radio WJPF River Radio. He's already in the area. I think you were here for the opening of Kelly's office and for campaign office for Congress.
Yeah, I came down, saw his campaign office openings, said a few words there, but also went around and talked with other people and organizations in the area down here in Southern Illinois about some of the great things we're doing in the treasurer's office.
Such as?
Well, I think we were really excited this week, announced that we set a record for the most unclaimed property returned in a year this last year.
How much?
We returned $180 million.
You know, so, I was part of that.
Mm-hmm.
No, I was not.
Well, thank you for being part of that.
I was a small portion of it, but, you know, I think $270 or something like that. And it was interesting because as I was going through the process, you and I had talked so often about it, it was purely academic. But when it's part of you and you go through the process, I at one point did experience some frustration. But what was interesting is whenever I, you know, how you get to the end of the game and you realize how the game played out, what I realized was what you were doing was protecting me, because I can't imagine how many Tom Millers there are.
There are a lot of Tom Millers, and there are also a lot of identity thieves out there. And so people get upset when they say, oh, I can't believe I have to provide all this information. And yes, they're angry, but they get really angry when you give their money away to the wrong person. So we have to have safeguards in place. But I can't tell you, Tom, the number of people who said to me when I came into office, you've got my money.
Yeah.
And I said, great, would love to give it to you. And they said, ah, it's not worth the hassle. It's only $20. It's only $40. So what we did, realizing that some people weren't going to claim that, we changed the process. We made it easier. People can now just go online, give us their name, their address, their Social Security number. We can do a web-based search to verify that you once lived at that address, and that's you. And if we do that, we can cut a check in as little as a week. And so what the result is, not only do we set a record for the most number of dollars returned, we doubled the number of claims processed last year.
You know,
I mean, a lot of those smaller dollar ones are now off the books, into people's hands where they belong.
It's interesting because you've got people saying, you've got my money, but the more interesting group to me is the ones who don't know you have something of value of theirs. Because one of the reports I'd heard, and I've forgotten the source, but it was, I think, some Purple Hearts, some stuff with some real emotional content as well. But it's interesting because I experienced that frustration part, and I'm going, because we'll have to do more information. I'm going, why more information? I gave everything. And then I get a letter from your office going, you have supplied sufficient information, checks in the mail. Right? Because you guys are working on it.
Those are the letters we'd like to send.
Right? And enjoyed it. So here I go to the bank to put the money in. And I'm talking to the girls at the bank in Heron. And I said, you know, I was taking part of this this Credit Karma Challenge, right? Every day you do something new to try to save or, you know, unplug this or that. And one of those is find people who already owe you money, like the Treasurer's Department. And they're all going, how do you do that? And it really, with me, I had a letter with an ID, so I got right in there and saw what it was. But you've actually made this as and cataloged it, which couldn't have been easy, and made this as easy as I think you possibly can without being, you know, an unwilling partner to thievery.
Yeah. So this is one of the most important things we do here. At the time we came in, there was no budget in place for a couple of years. And people weren't getting paid by the state. Vendors weren't getting paid. We stepped up and said, well, what can we do to put more money into the economy?
Right.
And we, you know, we have money not just for individuals. We have it for businesses, for not-for-profits. And so we tried to track down those not-for-profits that weren't getting paid and see if the state owed them some money through unclaimed property. And the thing is, because this money doesn't belong to the state, it's not mine, it's not the state's, it belongs to the state, we don't need a budget to write checks or to run this program.
Right.
And so we were writing checks when other parts of state government said, sorry, nothing we can do.
You know, and it's interesting because Lisa Madigan had done this a couple of years back, more than a couple now, because it was a known statistical fact. If you bought a gift card, X number of percentage wasn't used, right? Or they put an expiration date on it, all right? So they dealt with that on Illinois law. And you did something quite similar that I think is interesting growing. If people who bought insurance policies who had money come, you know, that maybe Uncle Bob died and there were members of the family on the insurance policy, but Uncle Bob never told anybody he bought that policy.
Yep.
And they still have the money. This is your, in my mind, a lot higher end item, but this is your gift card effort right here to legitimize that process and to ensure that if somebody gives you money for decades, you pay out.
Yeah, we just think it's the right thing to do. I came in, discovered there were some life insurance companies that would sit you down at your kitchen table, would tell you, if you buy this policy, if you pay these premiums, we'll be there to take care of your loved ones. And unfortunately, too many of them broke that promise. We sent our auditors in and discovered over $500 million in unpaid death benefits. Benefits that were paid for, that were earned, that weren't paid out to grieving spouses or children. We just thought that was wrong, and so we fought the life insurance industry for 2 years to change that law here. So now they have to look twice a year and see if any of their policyholders have passed away. And if they have, they have to notify the beneficiaries. This is something that most people think is common sense, but was not the law of the land in Illinois, and life insurance companies were getting around this.
Well, see, here's the thing. When you say law of the land, I'm thinking I signed a contract. Isn't that the law?
Well, if you look at page 4, line 19 of that contract, it says your beneficiaries have to notify us. Okay, that seems to make sense, except what happens when, you know, you buy an insurance policy and you list your wife as the beneficiary, but then you live a long life, 30 years go by,
right,
and she develops Alzheimer's. She develops dementia. She forgets about this policy. Is it her fault for not claiming that policy?
Right.
Or maybe a young family has young children. They say, we need to take care of these kids. God forbid anything happens to us. And so they buy a life insurance policy. And 4-year-old children who are orphaned, do we expect them to reach out to the life insurance company and claim that money?
Right.
That's absurd.
I think that Alzheimer dementia thing, by the way, is really important. I hadn't thought about it that way. I had always thought about it as the grief is the horrible thing it is that you just forget. But then the time comes where you do start worrying about money. And I said, other people do this. And I know these kind of people. They buy the policy because I'm going to do that, and I don't want them to know. I just want it done, right? I know these people. So,
but you mentioned the gift cards. We have our own gift card issue.
Yeah.
So Lisa Madigan led on this several years ago and said you can't have these inactivity fees. If someone gives you $50 for a gift card, they should be able to keep that $50. Well, what the industry did then is said they went to some of these companies that offered rebates, and they would send you a rebate card in the mail. But if it didn't get to your right address, if you put it up on your counter, it would start incurring inactivity fees. Now, we know this is wrong because there were some banks who were selling companies a $100 gift card for $96. How can a bank stay in business selling $100 of value and only collecting $96 in return? And they said in a hearing, well, it's because we know that a large number of people aren't going to use it in a way, and we'll make so much money off of inactivity fees, it will fund the program and fund that difference.
They got a great actuarial person in the back figuring it all out, don't they? To figure the numbers.
And so this was a way of getting around returning money that belonged to people, because under state law, if a company owes you a refund or rebate and it doesn't get to your house, if you don't cash it, they don't get to keep that money. We went in with one cell phone company and settled for about $2.3 million in unclaimed rebates. But with this system, with these rebate cards,
that's interesting.
They would say, oh, well, there's no value left on the cards.
Because
all those inactivity fees for a year.
Right. And it's interesting is because this is something I hear people complain to me about. They said they were going to send me a gift card with my rebate, and I never got it. And I hear that a lot.
It's because they might send it to the wrong address, or one of the things they've done to confuse people.
Well, they know where I'm living for the bill.
Yeah. Well, but let's say you went and AT&T promised you a $200 rebate if you bought one of their iPhones. Okay, so you fill out the form, you mail it in, they say wait 6 to 8 weeks, and for 6 to 8 weeks, you're waiting for an envelope from AT&T. Well, they contract out with another provider called One Republic Services, and they'll mail you the check. But when you get an envelope, One Republic Services, it looks like junk mail, too many people would just throw it away.
Right. And they do. Hey, we're almost out of time. There's something in it. I don't know if this would fall under the heading of esoteric. We're joined by Illinois Treasurer Michael Frericks. As a treasurer, all right, comptroller, treasurer in Illinois, right, that's always been confusing for people. But do you have a responsibility as a bully pulpit, as the treasurer, of the same strident attitude you've taken towards the topics we've talked about today, to go out on the bully pulpit and talk about Illinois' finances and what needs to be done, whether it's the $6.5 billion or it's our credit rating or it's the amount of student loan debt in this state? I mean, do you have a kind of a fiscal mentor place in the state of Illinois that you have a responsibility for as treasurer?
Well, our attitude is when it affects our office, some program, then we'll speak out about this. But I think there are too many people out there who just go out and complain about everything. And because when they complain, they know they'll get media attention. And what I've found in talking to people is they're just frustrated with too many politicians who never stop campaigning and never start actually governing. And so, yes, we use our bully pulpit, but we don't just come in to get on shows. We've come in and made improvements to our programs. So our college savings programs, we came in, we improved them. They're now some of the highest rated programs in the country. We set up new programs.
It had taken quite the beating.
They were not.
Faith and financial. Two categories, beatings.
Yes. And so we improved them. Now some of the highest rated programs in the state. We set up new programs to help people with disabilities or help people save for their retirement. We changed unclaimed property return money. So yes, we use our bully pulpit, but I was elected not just to flap my gums. I was elected to improve state government. And that's the number one focus for our office. You know, and there's also a way you can do it. You know, when the governor has issued debt multiple times since he's come into office, billions of dollars in debt, we've sent him letters. We've reached out and said, maybe we should get our bond rating, our ratings in check so that we're not spending as much in interest.
Yeah.
Now, I could have gone out and held press conferences. I could have called the governor names. I could have said he's a failure. He's wasting money. But does that actually improve state government? Might get me on TV, might get me on the radio, but that's not what I was elected to do. We try and work with people, and we've had successes with college savings, with our ABLE program, with retirement security, because we sit down and work with people. Tom, the advice I love to give people is the good Lord gave us two ears and one mouth, and you should use them in that proportion. If you spend more time listening to people across the other side rather than lecturing to them, you're more likely to learn something.